flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hello, everybody. Hola. ¿Cómo están? Buenas tardes. We hope you are doing well. I'm doing so well. I'm exceedingly well, and I am so happy to be with you. Welcome to Tres Leches, our new podcast. You know what Tres Leches is, right? It's your favorite dessert, but this is a blend here, a blend of condensed, whole, and evaporated conversation. I am one of your hosts, Juan Torres Falcón. I'm so happy to be with you. I am joined with two Miami All-Stars. The first, hi,
Ian. Hello, I'm Ian Paget. I'm so excited to be here and be doing this with you and my besties.
Hello. ¿Y quién nos falta?
The amazing...
Wait. Johnny Sibley, I am here.
Hi, Johnny.
I'm queer.
Hello.
And we're getting into it.
Hey.
Oh, hello. You know, this is really very fun. Because we've been friends for a long time,
indeed,
and getting to get paid for our conversation is a very exciting.
Oh God!
Position.
Absolutely. To quote Ellen, yeah,
listen,
go.
No,
I was
going
to say to quote Ellen, why pay someone?
I like a white woman with money.
She just has a great line where she says, "Why pay someone to listen to me talk when I can get people to pay to listen to me talk?"
And that's why she's
exactly.
And well, if you're just joining us, you might not know who we are. So how about we just tell you a little bit about ourselves?
I think, yes, a little bit, a little introductions. We'll do them kind of, like a daisy chain, you know, uno por uno. So I'll go first.
Okay.
Am I doing Johnny or Ian? Remind me.
You're doing,
I'm doing Johnny.
Johnny.
Oh my God. I got to put on my real. I had an idea for a show. No, okay.
Just got that.
Sorry, I've got that stuck in my head. For those of you who don't know, I was just referencing Barbara Walters' voice in the original pitch for The View, but here nor there. So, Johnny Sibley, screen sensation, known for his captivating roles. Okay, let's see. Pose, Hacks, Hello, and the most recent reboot of Queer as Folk. He brings to the table a condensed essence of drama and glamour, which I love that line. His social media characters and social media persona adds that extra dollop of sweetness and sass, making every morsel, every post a tantalizing treat. I'm so happy to have you here. Johnny, this is so much fun.
I'm
Who's
so
next?
Excited.
Is it Ian's turn?
Ian is next. Ian, our resident Broadway virtuoso, pours the whole unadulterated rhythm of dance and grace into our discussions. With his impressive credits on stage, including This Ain't No Disco, A Chorus Line, and Baby Mama Mia, he whisks through and through a flurry of beautiful things. And if you haven't seen him on TikTok, I mean, where have you been? Please welcome, smooth as whisk leche, Ian Paget.
Oh my God.
Hi,
hello. I just have to say, I am so excited to be here and to be receiving intros from some of your best friends. Is literally like, this is, even if this podcast doesn't go anywhere from this tech rehearsal moment, that was iconic.
Right.
And that I will cherish it. But how do I?
Yeah. Who else do we have with us?
I was getting verklempt.
Let me sit up.
Please do.
I forget people getting we're on camera.
This person is very important to me. This person and I have known each other since I was a junior in high school. He was a sophomore in high school, right? Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm referencing Juan Torres Falcon, who we've just been best friends since high school. I called him the gay Martha Stewart when I first met him because he is just the sweetest, most amazing person on the planet.
I was more domestic then
yes,
I am.
Yes,
now.
Yes, yes.
I was. I
yes, just
more
exactly.
Into those
to paint
kinds
a picture,
things.
When I first met Juan, he was walking out of a land, like a 1990, got out. What was the Land Rover? Do you remember what year?
1990 something, mi amor, del año.
Yeah, so,
it was brand
it was,
new.
So it was like 2000.
I started driving in 2003.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So it would have been a 2003.
So it was a 2003
baby.
Land Rover, an image and car that is one of that literally stays with me since then. Juan, let's just go to where he's made amazing moments in his life. Is an Emmy Award winning raconteur with a spoonful of theatrical zest from the stages of Kinky Boots. And he is here to evaporate the mundane and distill the essence of engaging storytelling into our hearty chatter. Ladies and gentlemen, Juan Torres Falcón.
Oh my God, my nipples are hard. That was fabulous. I love how much you love me and I love you for loving me and we love each other. And that's because none of us got enough love in our childhood.
That's from Chicago, if you're just tuning in and don't know culture.
Yeah, catch the fuck up, bitch. Chicago is going to be very important.
Chicago is very important.
No, it's going to be very important. If you haven't seen Chicago, no, the musical. If you have not seen Chicago, the musical, it's going to be important for you to really dig in here, I think.
I really do think that a lot of the listeners that will be joining have seen Chicago, maybe Dreamgirls, Cabaret, the original, maybe even.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And on that note, we want to welcome you to Tres Leches. You know, we sat down and we thought, we have so much fun talking to each other on a daily basis. Why don't we just record where we are in this moment? And I know that the three of us, you know, our artwork is from, you know, a nod to the First Wives Club. And if you've watched the movie, you know that these are three women coming together again at a time in their lives where they really need community, love, and reassurance that everything is going to be okay. And I think not only the three of us, but I think that's a pretty human condition. So we decided, let's start our own First Wives Club. You know, we're all, if not freshly out of relationships that meant a lot to us, then they still hold great value in our days. So we're here to be in our 30s and to just find out what's next and what's going on in our world. So whether you're 30, whether you're 20, or whether you're 84, we're just happy to have you here to compartir con nosotros. That means to share in what we
are. Such a great intro. I'm so happy.
That was
go
exactly right. Exactly right. I think, you know, the thing with having friends that you've known for a long time is that you get to go on the journey together and make mistakes together, even if you're not the one making them. It feels like you are. And you share the trials, the tribulations, the good, the bad. And I think our text thread has been a warm blanket in some pretty cold times. And so I hope that we get to be that for others. And I'm so happy that we get to share this time with all of you. We just want to make sure that every minute you spend with us is worth your while and that you're having a good time. And that you learn a little bit about yourself and about us and about life. And I think it's going to be lovely. Like a beautiful tres leches, right? Ain't nothing better than tres leches. Ain't nothing better than tres leches.
And listen, if you haven't had a tres leches, when you finish listening to this, go look up your nearest Latin bakery and go get you a slice, baby.
It's actually not that hard to make.
Oh, I'm not making that.
Wait, why not?
If you make it instant.
Really?
You can make it with instant cake. Well, not instant cake, but you know, like... Oh.
Yeah,
like
the box cake.
I mean, of course, box cake. You can make it with real, but you can make it with
BBL.
A BBL.
Actually, what does FWB mean?
Friends with benefits,
got it.
Darling.
Thank you.
Why? Why would you ask that?
I was going to say, you know the thing. You may have not
correct.
Known the word,
no.
but the,
you know
the
thing.
Exactly.
Idea.
No, I've lived, the, I've lived the idea. I actually would like to live that idea a little bit. No, I've lived it actually pretty well, but I just didn't know. Sometimes there are these letters that are put together on certain apps that I literally am like, what does that mean?
Certain apps. So demure.
I do. I am quite, I'm like private because I don't want to say it out loud. It's Grindr, everybody. I know.
Ding, ding, ding.
God, I relapsed. I really do try to not be on it. Not
as long as you don't prolapse.
Okay. You know, when I said it, I was like, I hope that's the word I mean, because my brain did go to like the other thing. I have nothing against the use of grindering and the G to the R to the N to the D to the R, but it does feel I left out the I. But it feels like a little bit of like a time waster sometimes, because you're just always possibly like seeking like what could be. And then Juan was also just saying that he's feeling quite feral, and I am I share that same kind of I am that too. But you're at least, like you said, getting sex. Like when you say, oh, I'd like more sex, I had some sex last night, I'm feeling quite like
well, I feel like the only thing standing between you and having sex is you.
Baby, I'm out here trying. Trust me.
Maybe widen the scope. I mean, I don't know. Try something
new. Don't tell me to widen anything. I'm trying to keep things tight and right. But like, I know you think that, but like, trust me, I'm sitting down on this couch sometimes, like paying attention to Supermodels, which I just finished last night. And if you haven't watched it, watch it. It's a great 4-episode documentary. But I think I'm trying to be as clever as possible in the way that I'm trying to seek what I'm trying to seek on Grindr. I will just say West Hollywood, Los Angeles Grindr, to me, it's not giving. It's just not giving.
She's no New York.
Yeah,
I'll
but
tell you
even
that.
In compare, like truly, you could compare to a bunch of other cities.
Yeah,
it's not the same thing. But I just am like, it's just.
What are you not seeing? What are you not getting?
Just not seeing people that I'm like crazy attracted to. That's it.
Yeah.
And then I think, oh, you know what? I'll come out of incognito mode, because maybe someone else is doing what I'm doing. And so if I make myself seen, then they'll reach out to me. Maybe I'm just not seeing them because I need to put myself out there, even though I'm quite discreet.
Because they're incognito. Okay.
Exactly. And and it's this dance that,
for those of you who don't know, let's explain what that is. So when you're on Grindr, if you pay for it, you can hide yourself so that you can essentially look at other people's profile without them knowing that you have seen their profile.
Oh, does it do that? It doesn't show you as a viewed?
Yeah, it does not show you as a person who viewed it.
Ghost. Harry Potter in the invisible cloak.
Oh, my God.
Correct.
Speaking of, Michael Gambon passed away last night. Yes,
Wow, what a
I know, what a segue there.
Dumbledore.
Yes. Well, it's just because I saw it and like I love an English actor. Like, I live for the English.
He's a queer character.
For
so,
sure. Yeah. Oh my God.
He is. But I don't think Michael Gambon was queer.
No.
I think Ian McKellen, yes. Because Michael Gambon was the original Dumbledore.
No.
And then
No. Richard Harris was the original Dumbledore in the first movie, and he passed away.
Oh.
And then Michael Gambon
then
became
Michael. So Ian McKellen
Gandalf,
was in Lord of the Rings.
That's okay. Yeah.
Got it. Sorry, I'm confusing my old wife.
I got them confused too. Because they don't, for a sec. I was with you. No, I knew that, but I just, when he said, I was like, yeah, he did it later, didn't he? I kind of was like, you know, maybe he was the third or something. I was
with all
him
of
on
that,
that
to say they're all important to me.
Well, I want to know I just want to know Juan's experience on Grindr, because like I've heard the way that you exist on the app, and I'm wondering, because you know, you said Juan gets hers, but I want to know how she exists and operates the orange Facebook.
Yes, we do.
The orange Facebook. That is the most unserious thing I've ever heard in my life. The orange.
You've never heard that?
I have never heard that.
But that's very good.
That is, that's top tier. Yeah. I heard that. I really, really,
you know, it's good when Juan
to me
is even like, whoa, whoa, whoa. The usage of that.
The orange Facebook, that's That's fantastic. So, I'm currently dating someone. It's kind of changed the way I'm not using Grindr as much, right? Because I'm like giving all my attention to this one man.
Right. Of course.
But Grindr, since Grindr was first on the scene, since Grindr popped up, since I downloaded it, I remember where I was where I downloaded it. I was really into the
idea. Where were you when you downloaded it?
I remember where I was. I was at the Caledonia at some 17th Street. I was living there with my dear friend Ally Stroker, and my friend Chaitin came over, and he was like, "Have you heard of this app called Grindr? It's like OkCupid, but like only for gay people."
Wow!
And I was like, "Ooh,
okay."
And I was from first download, I was into it because I like adults doing adult things.
Absolutely,
I like adults. Like them to be able to smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, have sex, take trips with their adult friends. I like them doing things for adults. That titillates me. It excites me. Okay. And Grindr felt very adult because it felt like there's a lot of autonomy there. You have so much control over this thing. Of course, the arguments about the pros and cons of Grindr and what it's done to gay culture, they absolutely bore me to death. It's a very important conversation to have. It's just to me a little boring because that is it's the same kind of conversation that like my grandma used when people used to say, "Ay, en los tiempos de antes todo era mejor." My grandma would say, "Mierda, siempre ha sido mierda. Life has always been shit. It's always been shit." It's gotten a little better here and there, but it's the same shit. Broadway's always been closing. Gay bars have always been disappearing. The world is always ending. And gay culture is always, it is what it is. You know, it's going to evolve. And Grindr's been a part of that evolution. And 100 years from now, we will have a lot of melancholia thinking about the wonderful times when Grindr was around. That is a long-winded answer to say that I've always loved the app. I really believe in it. But of course, it's a very, very toxic place, and it has had some devastating effects to the way that gay men interact. That's not up for debate. But I do think it's also given community, the LGBTQ now, it used to be just for gay men, but now it's a much queerer and more inviting place. It gives you a way to connect with people. And I think about when I was on tour, this is all the years that I was on tour, I used Grindr to literally find out like what was good. I mean, like, where do I go eat? Like, what is the gay bar to go on a Thursday night? Like, where do I go see Anita Dreyer or, you know, whatever local drag queen, you know? So I used
true
it for
resource.
That. And then I also,
more than
it's giving resource
Grindr maps.
Grindr maps. And you also just think about all the queer kids who now have this thing to be like, "I am not alone," right? I have this app to connect with. So in that way, it's great. But it does give you that, it doesn't give you the ooh-ah sensation. No one leaves Grindr feeling replenished.
Right.
It costs your soul every time you use it.
Yeah.
Right. So does Diet Coke, and I drink plenty of that. I'm not saying that we should get rid of it, but it does cost your body a little bit of life every time. And I use the app. I was single. I became single after 8 years in August of 2022, and I use the app as a lifeline to kind of reconnect. Not that I wasn't using it when I was in my relationship, because I was in an open relationship.
Right.
But I use it as an app to connect and meet new people. I use it to find like kind of new gay pockets of people. And it did kind of lead to some exciting times in that like post-summer
August,
sad, dreary time when I was newly single after so many years.
Yeah.
But recently, I was on Fire Island quite a bit this summer, and I was using it out there, and that's when I think the rubber met the road a little bit with the goddamn app. It just felt like, okay, maybe I've outgrown this a little bit.
In the city.
No, on fire.
In general. Oh.
In general.
In general. I think my experience with it there.
Got it. Yes.
I see. Oh, I see.
That maybe it's just, maybe the season has passed on a little bit. And not to be ageist, but like, I'm an ageist person. You should have to know this about me. I am somewhat ageist. It's how I am, okay? It's who I am. As my grandmother used to do when, again, the second mention, she used to, if she said someone looked old without having to say it, she would just pinch the back of her of her hand.
Yeah.
You know, because baby, the skin snaps back or adult.
Yeah. Well, I also think the older you get, the more you can speak about age because you're living.
Correct.
That's aging,
correct.
You know,
you're exactly right. I'm criticizing people my age. I'm 36.
Yeah.
I'm 36 years old. I'm 36 years old.
The breath.
And that is something I am dealing with. I'm contending with it. I don't know why it's affecting me, but it is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of like, girl, it's just like, baby, 36 on this app. It's, I don't know. It just is a little bit cringy sometimes because there's something about the fact that we have been on the internet for so many years.
So many.
But we've been on the internet for a long time, but we're not cool.
Right.
If you are over 32, you are not cool. Full stop.
Oh.
That's done. You can be chic. You can be fun. To be cool, you have to be between 18 to 28. And the way they are, and when you're between 28 and 32, be quiet. I don't know. It's just 18 to 32. Uh-huh. No, but seriously, what I'm trying to say is that like the younger people know how to navigate the internet more elegantly because they have all of our experience to kind of help them and be like, oh, no, that's cringe. That's that. Yeah. Gay men, especially, gay cis men, especially, in their 30s and early 40s are very cringe on these apps. The way they behave, they're rude, the whole thing. So it's really changed the way I'm using the apps because I'm trying to date men my age.
Mm. And do you feel as though when you see men your age on the app, you're like, Ariana, what are you doing here? Like, or you know what I mean? Like, girl, what are we still doing? What are we still doing here, girl? You know what I mean? Like, because I feel that way a little bit when I still go out to bars. Like, not that I shouldn't be doing that every now and then, but it's not the same as when I was like 25 and that was the thing to do on the weekend. I feel like I should be on someone's boat on the weekend. Like, you know, there's just a difference in like what I feel is right for me in this time. So I don't know if you feel that way when you clock it on the apps.
You know, I don't know if it is quite that. It's just a guillotine that it's like, okay, you're too old to be on this app. It's really not that at all because there are. I will continue to use Grindr. You know, unless I'm like in a monogamous relationship, maybe that I won't. Right, but Grindr will be a part of my life through the. I don't see it disappearing, but I just think that like, yeah, someone's just like, girl, are we really doing this right now? Is this really like? We saw each other at the bar. I was kind of nice to you there. And now I like even maybe said hi. This is a true thing. I said hi. And now we're pretending as if we didn't see each other.
Oh, yeah.
Though, you see, that's millennial.
It feels
garbage.
Grow up.
A 23-year-old person doesn't do that. Right. They don't do that. They don't do that. They don't. They're very clear. So like when I'll two examples from Fire Island this summer. One was a guy my age, maybe a little bit older, maybe like 38. So I'm at the bar. We were kind of friendly, but he was being very, very coy. And he was with friends. So, you know, he was like at a thing. So he didn't want to like, you know, we were going to like buy each other drinks and sit down like across each other and, you know, play footsie under the table. He had something going on. I found him on Grindr. I was like, oh my God, let me like say hi. I was like, hey, like I saw him in the bar. And he was like, oh, I don't remember you.
Ooh.
But, okay. This is not me thinking, oh, he creating this scenario of why he's behaving cringily because he didn't want to have sex with me. He did want to have sex with me. He continued to pursue it, but he was like playing por gusto, for no reason, for fun. He was like playing like, oh, yeah, we did have sex. So proof positive that it was just a game. A 23-year-old who lives in Bushwick does not do that. They see you at the bar. They were nice to you. They're then nice to you on the app because millennials have asbestos in the cabeza sometimes. So, okay.
Yeah. I totally, yeah. Yeah. It's funny when...
We're the children of the 9/11 widows, and we've got a lot of issues. It's just not right.
Yeah,
and it's. Yeah. I was just gonna say, like, I sometimes I'm on the receiving end of that, and sometimes I have been the one to when you see someone who you've had a crush on or who you like know from Insta, mm-hmm. and then you're like, oh my god, they're on Grindr. It's. I have had to pretend that I'm just like, or I've had the discussion with myself, and I've talked about this with Johnny that like, do you do the. I know whose chest that is, but am I going to pretend that I don't know who you are so that I can get the picture and so we can do this like coy, like a little gamey? Because, and I wonder, I think I know, it stems from a fear that I have more of a crush on you than you do on me. And if you knew who I was and then I showed you I have interest in you, what if you reject me? Or...
And I, you know, I just because
do you get what I'm saying? You know what? Have you been
my? I see the chest that I know, and I tell them I can spot that chest from a mile away.
Work, I like it.
You know what I mean? I know. Oh, there she is.
A man.
You know, like because one, it's going to get where I want to go faster,
right?
You know, I don't want to play this cat and mouse bullshit. Like, if you don't like me, we're going to get there quicker. Because I could write that and you could not respond and there's right. my answer. Or it could give, well, whose chest is it? And, it, you know, we give, it's giving banter. And when banter is happening, sexy is happening, you know? And you're also not coming from a place of, you're coming from a place of power because you're using your wit to say, I want what I'm seeing. You know what I mean? Without, and I think when you come at us from a place of like, this is what I want. I'm here shopping on
baby.
You
know, I just have to you're using your wit to get what you want. You're using your wit to get your want is just like, mwah. I love that. Mm-hmm. That is good.
Yeah. Because also episode most people title. Don't approach it that way. Most people are like, hey, shut up. What's up? And it's like, oh, here we go. It that reads as here we go rather than, I'm gonna say something. I'm gonna respond in a witty remark as well. And all of a sudden, your clothes are off and the legs are in the air. You know?
Yeah. No, that kind of playful banter is a little bit of a lost art.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit of a lost art. There's still some who can do it, and I'm not talking just on the app.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in real life too.
When I find that in real life.
Well, here's the thing. It's in real life. Like, let's say it's not even happening.
Correct.
Work. The facility? She should have been a dancer. What I was going to say is I had a moment actually.
Who said she ain't?
I had a moment a couple weeks ago. I went on a date with someone and the build up to the date was really exciting. We were texting and you know when you're first getting to know someone via text and you're like, this is me. And you're so comfortable kind of like divulging how sassy, sexy, witty you can be. And then the second it starts to get like, I really like them. Then we like almost hold back from that first way that we were with them thing. So we were very,
because there's more at stake. There's more
and
at
we
stake.
Were extremely, like I was very open about like asking him, like, you know, he was giving me these little like, what's it called? Easter eggs of just kind of like what he likes and possibly just flirty, witty banter. And it was really fun. But then that doesn't necessarily translate that kind of conversation on first date. So we had our first date and it was lovely. It was nice. It was getting to know. I had a great time and we had a great evening. But it's I'm just saying this long-winded answer because there's a way that lives via text that doesn't, it's not necessarily going to be what you're going to literally bring to the dinner table. Do you know what I mean?
But why not? This is where I step in and I ask, but
I mean,
why not?
I'm not saying you can't, but it's just not what tends to happen.
It's a different skill.
Not even that, like it's a skill, like a person has to develop it. You do, but it's just, mm-hmm. Johnny, that's just not how the dinner date usually goes.
Really? Because I went on a date recently. I went on a date recently and I had the same idea, like the banter, the banter, the banter, the banter. And I was like, wow, this the banter is there.
Banter.
And I went into the worry of what if the banter is not that? And I think maybe this is part of it, but this is the date where I was like super late. You remember I thought it was like an hour later. Yeah. But anyway, I was 30 minutes late to the date. I got a text from the man that said, wait, am I being stood up? So I don't know if immediately when I get there, we're skipping pleasantries and right into joking about how I'm late, and joking about how I'm late turns into more jokes of what we were already doing via text. You know, it just kind of, but I do understand the idea of like, right this way, here's your table, and you sit down and you're like, have the menu, and you're like, do I look at the menu or do I talk to him? Do I see what I wanted to order? You know, like all of those things are going on, so I can totally see how it could get a little funky.
And how comfortable we are on our I mean, it's just as simple as we are I know I am, but like we're so much more comfortable on the phone, and we've got control over the words and the way that that sounds. And you can really gild that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, this person's like in front of me. So like now I have to come with like this, you know what I'm saying? It just changes. Yeah. The medium changes is what I'm saying. And because I do think it would be a little, okay, let me put it this way. If he got to the dinner table and came to me with the witty banter in that way, I would have been like, oh, I don't, what is it? What is, huh? Interesting. Okay. Like I would have judged it a little bit because it would have probably, and I'm smirking, made me feel uncomfortable because it not in a bad way, like how dare, but in a way that's like, oh my God, is he? Oh wow. He's like doing that. Okay. It would force me, wow, we're really getting deep here, to have to do and stand up to the persona that I was giving him via
You'd have to do that.
And that's the whole thing is like, I would have to meet him there or not, and then see what that kerfuffle turned into. You know what I mean?
But isn't that you were just that? Weren't you just that?
Wait, weren't what?
Because I don't. From what I'm hearing is that like you would be afraid to fall into what you were just doing via text. But what you were doing via text isn't that.
It's a version of who I am because I'm comfortable doing that. And you're just sitting on the couch. And again, remember I painted the picture. I'm watching Supermodel. Well, that was with Grindr. But if you're just feeling comfy on your corner of the couch and you just are like, this is me. And you are, that's a version of me there. You know what I mean? But then it's like, I'm not saying I all of a sudden turn into this like sheepish little lamb, but like I do get a little bit more demure in person. But that is what we all do. There's a level of banter and wit that you will.
Go.
Say it.
It's a bit of a defense mechanism. To not be that exposed with like your true, you know, your
exactly.
true nature. No, to hold back when you're on a date, you often do because you want to make sure that you want it to succeed.
Yeah.
So you avoid as many risky things in order to try to do what's most likely to get you what you want because you're just trying to be practical. But
what's risky?
Well, saying risky in the sense like you're on a date. You know, we're bantering about sex and everything else. That's one thing versus being like, you know, you're having them in person. And what if they're like, ooh, that was like kind of like a little too try hard.
Then exactly. Like, you know what I mean? Exactly. If they came at me with that, like, that would be my first like, right now.
In front of my
salad,
you know what I mean?
We haven't even ordered.
Oh, okay. I think there was there was me not understanding what you meant because when you're on the couch and you're doing this, I'm reading that. She's coming up with a good joke. But what you're serving is, well, you know, a little like bedroom banter.
Oh,
is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Because
that's totally understandable. Yeah, if you're in person and someone's like, yeah, I'll have the sausage, and then looks at you, it's giving, whoa. You know what I mean? But if you're on text, if you're via text and you're
holy.
But if you're via text and you're like, What do you usually like to eat? And he was like, other than sausage, it's giving. Oh, which is still a little cringy. Like, you know,
it
I
would
could
be
have
very.
That, but
what was that?
It would be.
What was that?
It would be very, what was that?
Very, very, very the great Wendy Williams.
Oh my God, I'm dying.
In her Halloween episode, as she sees the masked monster in her audience, and it passes over, the monitor passes over, and she says, "What was that?" That would be that is a true. What was that?
And
to, no. I get it, but that's why they say get off the apps as quickly as possible. Get off of the app and into real life. The whole point, unless you're into camming and you want to keep this, it's about your digital sex life. But if the goal is to be, let me be quiet on that. Let me move on. But the point is,
episode four.
They want you to get off the app as soon as possible because the goal is typically to engage with someone because you want to date them, be their boyfriends, go to Thanksgiving at their parents' house, have a dog together. And that all usually starts with a blowjob. So get to the blowjob because get there, get off the app and meet the person so that you don't create a Jane Austen romance in your mind, because the mind is so much richer than our true interactions. Mm-hmm. You know, we can create such a fantasy and the person could just never really live up to it. So it's like, meet them in person, see who they are and, you know, smell them, taste them, talk to them. And I think that's what can happen is where, when you're playing the field a little bit too much digitally, and that can be with both Instagram, Grindr or whatever. It doesn't have to be just Grindr, you know, any dating app. If you're on there too long talking to someone, you start to date
a couple
the
people.
AI version.
And to be, and just, not even, I don't really wish that at all, but like to be very clear, just for the record, I'm just scrolling because I'm not finding anyone even worthy of having it. Not worthy, but just like, I'm not even having those kind of conversations on Grindr. It just can turn into this bit of like this rush that I'm searching for, this dopamine rush of like, will I, and the act of it, it's like I'm watching myself do it and going, you shouldn't be like, literally, you don't like this feeling, like stop doing this, but I'm still doing it. It's so bizarre to be so aware whilst still choosing to do it. There's a term for it. It's actually in the book. I can't even remember, but
it's called loss chasing.
Is that
loss really chasing? When you chase the loss, because it's the thrill of the chase. You know what I mean? It's not the thrill of finding the one. It's the thrill of the seeking. Because it's you're like in this stage of anxiety where it's like, will they, won't they vibe. So when you're so used to getting something from the will they, won't they, you don't even need to get the end result. You just need to be in that state of flux in order to feel some sort of, you know, normal, or to feel something, because to feel still in our day, to feel still, to be bored is a death sentence to most people. So we're constantly seeking either joy or sex or something to distract from just sitting with self.
Can I tell you that is what I've been kind of like grappling with since I signed the lease for the New York apartment, because there was such exactly what you just described, this will I, won't I get it, like going back and forth with the landlord, the idea, just having something. I mean, it wasn't even like I was like talking about it to the world. I wish I could say it was more like sociopathic, like narcissistic than that, that it was like, this is what I'm telling everybody. I wasn't even doing that. But I did clock how once I, perfect example, when I found out that like, hey, they weren't going to meet me at the number that I wanted, because it was just, they were asking for like too much money, I felt relief. And I was almost just like, okay, like the activity was done, the game was done of it. And I felt relief. It didn't necessarily mean it's like the outcome I wanted, but I just noticed I felt relief. And then, you know, like much to my, like,
it's interesting.
It's like not dismay, it would be the opposite, just like whatever. Much to my surprise, I checked in like a couple weeks later, the apartment was still available, blah blah blah. And then in the moment of having to decide to actually get the thing I was seeking, I felt immense amount of anxiety and stress, because I was so aware of how much relief I felt from not getting it. So holy shit, that I'm being presented another door to walk through where I do get it. was telling me things, you know? And so I pulled the trigger anyway, because there's literally no wrong choice you can make. I'm so excited to be back in New York City. I will miss this light that's hitting me and like doing wonders for my skin, but I will find that light again. And that is okay. But all I'm saying is that like, what you just said is that is something I'm really trying to take stock of and combat, because it's into the woods. It's the feeling like I'm going in there to get it, to get it, to get it, to get it. And then what happens after you get your wish, you're like, oh, wow, wait, you start to realize what you had and you see it with maybe like newer eyes and you start to appreciate it, you know? And so I really do think about like when you're off to get your wish, better seek that you keep what you have. And just to remember that like what you have is great already, you know? Anyway, I'm,
well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because we, you know, the three of us are entering new stages of our lives, but there are always, you know, much like the First Wives Club, there's always the reminder of the thing we just left, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the person or the place or the thing. And sometimes you're met randomly with the thing that you were just saying goodbye to on a sunny day when you're not even thinking about the thing or the person. So I would love to like know from, you know, and in this sense, I'm talking about the men in our lives that we have said goodbye to the chapters and now we're starting our new, but sometimes you flip the book and it lands on a page you've already read. So I want to know like how that feels, you know, and Juan, maybe you can like start with like, what did it feel like to see that for the first time after you said goodbye?
You mean how it felt to kind of feel the excitement again of being with someone new?
To see that person again.
Oh, to see that person again.
In a different way that it was not, you know, like if you mm-hmm. were to, yeah.
Oh, got it. You know, this is a gift or a blessing or a curse or a disaster or a spell or a disorder. It's what I'm about to tell you is one of those things, but it is the goddamn truth. I will always love every man I have ever loved. I will always love every man I have ever loved. If you're going to be with me, you have to know that every time I see an ex, any ex, I'm in love again. And it's not because it's not that I am like wanting to be with them. I really don't want to be with my ex, you know, his name is Jack. I don't really care. You can sue me. He's a lawyer. He owes me hundreds of thousands of dollars. So in potential gains. Yeah. So talk about loss chasing. Well, yeah. So we were together for 8 years. And I loved him. We had a beautiful, beautiful relationship. And I don't want to be with him, but every time I see him, I'm there's a rush of all the wonderful moments and the bad moments. And I'm grateful for both of them. But I feel that way about him, and I feel that way about like my college boyfriend, Matt, who lives in LA. I saw him last year, and it's like I love him. Like I love him. I love them all. But so that's, you know, good or bad, I don't know what that is, but it's just kind of who I am. And I've been wronged. I haven't been really, really wronged by a man. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like lied to and cheated. Like someone took money and really hurt me, left me homeless. Nothing quite that, you know, traumatic. Some would say that what the undoing of my life with my ex was traumatic. But seeing them again for the first time in the new light, like, yeah, the love and all of that rushes back. And then so that's the good thing. The bad thing that comes out of it is I see all, like, you know, your life can flash, your whole life flashes before your eyes, like before you die. The life we would have had flashes before my eyes every time. I see the Thanksgivings. I always think about, to me, like peak being in a relationship is Thanksgiving together.
Yeah,
that to me is like what it means to be in a relationship. I don't know why, but it is. I see the Thanksgivings. I see the baby showers. I see the gross trips to the grocery store. I see the mundane evenings at home. I see the blowjobs in the shower. I see kind of a whole life that we didn't get to have. And I have to mourn that. that the more times I see the person, the less of that life I see. But at the very beginning, when I first saw my ex, it was very traumatic because I could tell that when he saw that future, like when he saw me, there was nothing there. That's not a part of his imagination. It's just not. And he would maybe disagree with me, but that was the reason we broke up, because he had no vision for us in the future. He didn't see up. There was no, I don't know how many votes is it. Oh my God, I should know this. How many votes it is that you were enough electoral college votes. There was no path. There was no path to the presidency anymore.
Right.
You know,
for right. Me.
I had lost Iowa and Texas. It was done. And so, you know, it's not easy, but
yeah,
I want to say that I like seeing my exes. I like it. You know, I'm not as close as Johnny is to yours, to your ex now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, so it's different.
I see him all the time.
Yeah, you guys are beautiful.
Yeah, you know, there's something to be said. There's something to be said about still seeing a potential future with someone. And also seeing a potential non-future with someone in that way. It is a whole different kind of mindfuck, because one is concrete. It is immovable. And then mine is, well, where could we be? Where are we? What are we? Who are we? You know, mm-hmm. And every day you wake up and you decide, okay, we're still friends. We're still friends, because we still have never had the conversation of you are not it for me. It's always, well, you never know. We love each other so much. You know, when people ask him, will you both be married one day, he still says yes, and I still say yes, because I think for both of us, I can't speak for him, but I think we both love each other so much that we don't understand the possibility. I mean, I do understand the possibility of feeling it again, but we don't see that light at the end of the tunnel, that someone could take his place. So it is a constant search. And or not that I need it, but it would be nice to know for certain if it's going to continue or not. But, you know, it's the same kind of thing, because every time I see him, it's a different feeling. You know, sometimes it's, you know, I'm just, oh God, I'm never more myself than when I'm with you. And then sometimes it's, oh, I don't feel like I did. Like, I really do feel like we're best friends now. So it's a constant swinging motion, which, you know, in therapy I've talked about, is probably not the best place to be, but it is a place. And, you know, that is just who we are as two people. So it's interesting to hear that, because, you know, every time I see him, there's those flashes of what life could be or could have been, because that even changes now with, we've been separated since 2020, you know, the end of 2020. So like, who I am now is not who I planned us to be back when we were together. So even now that we're friends, I'm like, oh, I see a future that is based in who we are as a duo now, you know? And I don't know if you feel that, Ian, when you like, when you bump into Miss Mama's.
You know, I honestly couldn't have put it better. I literally could not have put it better than what Juan said, is that when I see any of my, mind you, I've not actually dated a lot. I've had one boyfriend that was in high school named David Estevez for like a short amount of time. Do you remember David Estevez, Juan? Yeah,
name drop. Of course. How could I remember David Estevez?
Chase and then Mike Connor and then obviously Chris. But like, it's not that I don't have a long roster. So those boys always hold a very, very special place in my heart. I bumped into Chase actually on Fire Island, like the last time I was there. And there's like what Juan said, is there's this way that I will always love him. Like I know you know me in a specific, very intimate way. And like, when I look at you and we have that interaction, I know I'm taking care of you still with that kind of, I'm holding space for that tenderness there when I like ask you about your day and how you're doing and the update, because I just, you will never be somebody I used to know. You become that, obviously, quite literally, but you're not going to be someone I used to know. You're going to always be who you were to me. But every time we see each other, you're like the new version of you. And I had an interaction with, I actually bumped into Chris and his new boyfriend today. And I just knew it was going to happen. I had a crazy feeling. Everyone on TikTok has been tagging me. He's been doing like it's very Chris Olsen, you know.
Are they public now? Is he shared it with the world, or is he still doing that?
No sé nada.
And I wasn't even checking TikTok for a couple days. And I was like, oh, like, let me see what's happening. And then I was seeing all these mentions on other videos. And I was like, oh my God, like, it. And I'm like, comment section people, stop doing that. Like, you know, it's not me.
How does that feel? I mean, it's...
They're comment mentioning
you. They're like, oh, it's yes, people are like, literally saying like, it's Ian Padgett, it's Ian, and like they're starting shit. Or if they're not and they really think it's me.
But you must know it. You must know that that's coming from, well, one, from that parasocial relationship where they like think they know, you know. And it's also their hope as like an audience member, like they want Ross and Rachel back together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's hilarious. I don't see it like that. I see it as like, oh, they're starting shit. They want me to see this so that, like, I see it like kind of in that, that cynical read of it, I guess, or whatever. But
yeah, I think
maybe it is a sweeter version, and that's actually, how sweet. But like, you guys, and because then it just is, I was seeing it. I'm in a place which I'm feeling very good about that, like, it doesn't affect me. And then when I bumped into them today, I was like walking out of the building and it was just like, hi, hello. And then I like went and to shake his hand. Say I'm a Patrick. Sorry, guys. I don't know if he's telling the world, but listen, it's my lived experience now. Exactly. But I went to shake his hand and then he went to hug me, which I thought was so sweet. Like, I liked that. And there was a young kind of like, there was a very sweetness in his voice. And I just thought like, I was like, I'm so happy. They're happy. They just like, I'm happy. I walked away feeling quite delighted that I experienced that because it ripped the Band-Aid off. And
and isn't that interesting when you don't like immediately want to hate the new person, just, like, where you're just like, oh, you
and,
are nice,
and listen, I think
you?
Many factors go into why I was in a good place about it. It's been, I think, enough time. I've done a lot of work on myself. I'm feeling very good about like me. I've done a lot of looking at myself in the mirror and coming back to just not feeling like I'm in despair all the time. It really was a gift today to be like, wow, that is not, I got rushes, the butterfly still, and like you're walking away. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go this way. Just so like, you know, I'm going to just like separate for a second. But then 10 minutes later, baby, I had energy playing in the car and it was giving Beyonce concert. Like, I was fine. You know what I mean? And that brought me joy. Like,
I can
that
see
really,
it.
That really brought me a sense of like, wow, like how nice to experience that. And
yeah.
And like, I almost thought about like, I'm really going in right now about sharing this, but I thought about texting Chris and being like, I'm like so happy that like, LOL, like, so like, to share how like, I don't know, quaint that was. I thought that was like such a beautiful, I appreciated that moment.
That's totally something I would do. That is a Juan Torres Falcon thing.
And the reason,
when you make if something is awkward for someone, you make it unawkward for them. Like, that is my goal, is for like to be zero awkwardness at any time. And so like, that would be something I would do, because like, I mean, I wasn't there, but you know, knowing Chris, I'm sure he was somewhat.
He's always super stoic. And I was very lucky that I saw them first. So I had like in 5 seconds and eight, like just to go, whoop, okay, I know what this is now. And then I looked at him and I was like, hello.
Because if you know Ian, she's not good at a poker face if you catch her off guard.
No.
You know what I mean?
It's giving Rose Nyland for sure. It's giving Blanche as Rose Nyland. That's a Golden Girls reference for anyone who doesn't know. But like, I was very happy to have been the one to be like, okay, I'm stepping into this. That was good for me. And you know, Chris sometimes, I mean, I don't think he was prepped for it. I don't know what was going on in his brain, but the first thing he said, he was like, oh, hi, nice glasses. Like, that's, he commented on my Oakley glasses. Like, that's the kind of way that I'm truly making this up right now, that that's just like where his attention goes. And then I was like, hi, I'm Ian. And you know, and then the hug happened with Patrick.
I mean,
it was cute, but like, and then I'm like, okay, bye. And I will always be the one who is giving like high pitch, like so happy to see you, very overly welcome in my like greeting to you. And Chris Olsen is just not that. Chris Olsen is never like, hey, like he just will never do that. And I understand that.
But he wasn't like that when you were
together.
That's
what I'm saying. Like,
so
he's just not that person.
Not like, that's not who he
is.
Yeah,
he can be quite awkward.
Like with me.
Excuse me?
He wasn't like that with you, Johnny.
That?
Okay. Then, okay, no, well.
Whenever he sees me, he's very happy to see me.
Well, yeah, okay.
No, I'm kidding. Well, no. I can see what you mean. I'm just joshing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm good. Ooh,
yeah.
Bitch, yeah.
Mind you, I'm not coming in either like that. Either. Nice. I'm not. It's not. But no. I tend to be very like, oh my god, hey, like, hello, hi, and like, it's. I'm saying we're having tea, but it's definitely a just okay. And then I was like walking, you know, away, and he's like, bye. Like, bye. It just was this cute interaction, like, and it didn't really make me feel bad, and that. That is a sign of a good day for me with that kind of interaction where Juan knows, Johnny, we bumped into each other in other like
scenarios,
other times this year, and it has felt really awkward. I've walked away like really in my head around like what's going on there and blah, blah, blah. So that I'm not even worried about what he's thinking about me, to me, is a huge step in the Ian direction.
Growth.
It's giving growth.
That is,
it's giving.
That's a nice feeling for that to become easier.
Yeah,
is good.
It was nice. Anyway.
Yeah.
It got easier after when you start dating someone new. It definitely gets easier. That.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then you're the one that's like, I'm bumping into you.
Yeah. Well, but that's what was the twist here is like, I'm still single. I am not like I've always had a bit of a fear that like, you know, oh my god, when he starts posting about that new person, like, how am I going to feel? Is he going to be better than me? Like, is it, you know, just all of a sudden it's like new attention on them and like I'm not there yet, or like what about mine and what about me? You know, it would turn into that. And so I have been a little like conscious and worried about like how would I react,
where it could go.
And so
that makes sense.
I am still the single one, and it wasn't that I have my boyfriend and bumped into him first. Like, it wasn't about that. I'm the single one and bumping into you and your boyfriend, and that I feel good, and that it was like quite delightful, that I shall say is amazing, you know.
It was no care. It was no Carrie and Mr. Big.
No,
with Natasha.
No, there's no like, I don't feel threatened by like who I am post us, like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't mean anything other than we bumped into each other, and I will add a meaning to an interaction. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you will.
Yes.
I know, I'm a writer.
Yes,
and then
you
he
will.
Said, He said, and I was like, what's that?
Okay.
You know,
well,
it's like maybe he just had to clear his throat.
Mm-hmm.
Lord.
I mean, I when I saw my ex do it most recently, and I had just started dating someone where I'm not like in a monogamous, close, like fancy relationship. I just started dating someone.
Yeah.
And I could not tell my ex, but not because I wanted to be like, oh, it's just like, I had to tell him because, like, I'm so used to telling my ex everything.
Yeah.
I felt like if I didn't tell him, I was keeping a secret.
But
you
also,
what I mean?
Like, what's wrong with telling him and feeling about telling
him? Exactly.
Yeah.
I did it because I was happy and I wanted him to know. And it wasn't like, there's no posturing because, baby, he's got a new one and he's doing just fine. So it's not like, it's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's a rich lawyer with a new boyfriend and a gorgeous home and house we have to go. So I wasn't saying it. There's just no competition. So it's just, I have a great guy, and I had to blurt it out, and that felt kind of good because I was like, I feel comfortable. I shared so much of my life with this man for so many years, and I mean just my days. I mean like my heart, my information, my good news, my bad news. I downloaded this man on my inner workings for 8 years. So, you know, when something big happens, I meet someone that I care about, I think you dream about being able to, not that my ex and I have one of these amazing, fantastic, really close relationships still, but I you know, it that to me was also a good sign of like, okay, I'm never, my ex and I will never, ever get back together. Oprah's things I know for sure, it's not happening. Like, I don't have like, you know, Johnny's gonna be able to like reference this time apart in his vows. That's not happening for me. So I'm not at that level.
That was a heavy.
I'm not at that level, but I'm also not like estranged from this person either, right. And that feels good.
Amazing,
yeah,
sweetie.
Yeah,
and I feel
okay.
Like that's really, I feel like, where we find the sweet spot of Tres Leches, yeah. Where finding
how very dairy of you.
A new recipe to concoct
a classic.
In our everyday life, a classic moment, you know? And before we go, we've talked a lot about the men's of past, but I'd like to about a man that I'm really feeling at the moment. You know, we're going to save this last portion of our show every show to give a little bit of something to the listeners. And we're going to have an email that you can write into or send a voice memo to. You can send us, you know, ask us for some advice. You can give us some of your good news that you want us to share with the world.
If you
want to
yell at us.
You can even give us a
shout
out. If you want to yell at us, don't do that. But if you want to, you can. Or share a little messy tidbit. But today I want to hold space for an Insta stud.
I can't wait.
I want to share them with everyone because I think they're just so delicious. And, you know, one thing about being single is that you can do it in a way that feels, you know, just so exciting. So I'm going to save this moment for the gentleman that helped us create our visual for Tres Leches. And his name is Antonio Morales. He's an illustrator and character designer, originally from Brooklyn, New York, and now lives in Los Angeles. He is here. I'm just going to show the girls one of the photos that is look at this.
A ver.
Look, first of all.
I'm not ready.
Look at that. That nipple. First of all, I just have nipple envy because.
Wow.
A saucer. What a beautiful man.
Baby, if you got a pepperoni nipple, come sit next to me. Come over here.
We did it. Thank you so much for joining us on the inaugural episode of Tres Leches. That was a lot of Tres Leches for 1 week. You're all going to go into diabetic shock. But we're just so happy to be in your ears and hopefully in your hearts. We want to thank our amazing artist Antonio for our artwork that we love and bringing our first Wives Club fantasy to life. We'll see you next week. Los queremos demasiado, la verdad. Hasta luego.